What is happening, and that's already through at two stations, and it will soon, meaning within probably 24 hours, be through at all the stations. For example, Ann Shaw is the local election supervisor at Houston, and she's got a number at the station that people can leave a voice recording at requesting forms. They'll be mailed to them.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear it.
Okay.
The other thing is I'd like you to report back to us the situation as it exists at WPFW. My understanding, my interpretation of the rule is that everybody apart from the staff members who were elected last time, that the staff members did have a quorum. The listeners did not have a quorum.
All of them will be elected.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next on the stack. Did someone wish to ask Les a question?
If no one does, I'd just like to follow up on what Lizette said. It's Mia.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to ask Les a question?
Yeah, Leslie, I have one.
Yeah, Bob.
Talk about tracking the candidates downloading nomination forms, Les.
Yes.
I assume, and I just would like you to clarify that no personal data is being retrieved in that process?
Well, the personal data that's being retrieved is their name, their email address, yes.
Okay, so everybody who downloads the form, you're getting their name and email address.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair?
All right, next is Bonnie.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Les, could you just repeat what that was about PFW? Because they didn't have a quorum last time.
All the listener representatives at WPFW are being elected.
There'll be 18 people elected?
That's correct.
Okay, next is Susan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Election. Sorry, go ahead, Susan.
Sure. I just wanted to ask Les, one of the things that the NFC has requested is that the NES make every effort possible to find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish the election, and I'd like to ask you what your thoughts are about that.
My thoughts are that it should be cost-effective. I know that the last time, it's difficult to answer because I really, I've spent a very, very, very small amount of time on that because I've been trying to struggle to get all these other things finished first. The main cost, of course, are things like the mailing and the graphics, the production of the candidate statements that traditionally we're looking at a couple $100,000 for the entire election process. And I see that as sort of the upper limit for the election. But I haven't looked to see right now, and I haven't seen any bids come in, and I've done a very limited amount of outreach to find out if I can lower those costs. So I really don't have anything to report now. I'd have something to report in the next meeting.
Madam Chair, we are
Thank you.
28 seconds.
All right, I think we're done with the stack.
Yeah, this is LaVarne. I'm back.
Okay, very good. LaVarne, we're ready for you now.
So should
okay.
I leave?
Please don't.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. okay. First I want to say that it's been really hectic, and I think that I have been kind of like either in New York or like on like a little personal leave or traveling, and it's difficult. And the point I was making earlier, I think, was about the email. Ever since I logged on a few weeks ago, I had problems with my Pacifica.org account. So either it's the messages, the attachments, do not go. So I'm like sending stuff through AOL and trying to coordinate the two and get the information on both internet so I can send data out. And also we have a problem with, we'll talk with John about Windows. Like Windows 2007 does not support any of the older versions. So my finance chart, the numbers are deleted. they're not there. So we're going to have to go through somehow. We're going to have to talk about an upgrade for our Windows, for our Windows packages, so we can be consistent, so we're not losing data. But, yeah, I just gave a short report, and it's kind of a combination of the two because, you know, if the AI and the other stations do well, we all do well, and that's part of my responsibilities. And what we do is we're updating all along, and Efren sent out today our fund drive stats. Initially, we'd send them to Grace, and then we'll send them out to the PNB in terms of knowing where we are on a daily basis and getting the individuals, the business managers, to assist us in that. So basically, my report is first from the IC, from the CFO's office, is that we're really planning and in the midst and working with the NFC in terms of the 2010 budget, in terms of laying the groundwork for that. And we have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow, continuing on Friday with the business managers. And that what we've had from the national office is the template that Efren used at KPFK to send to each one of the business managers for their review for the 2010 budget. So the 2010 budget effort will not be, is when it's returned to us, it will be consolidated, so we don't have the long wait time between, and so that the template for the budget will be consistent across the stations. And that has been sent out to each station, and what we're going to try to do is a walkthrough tomorrow and Friday of each one of the elements of that template with the business managers. And any of the finance committee, anyone who would like to be there and on the call, I can send you the information. And we'll definitely go all day, or at least 2 hours on Friday. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to be, probably will start an hour late, which might conflict with the general manager's meeting, but that's the way it looks right now. But the really important thing is that the groundwork is being laid, the infrastructure is getting in there so that everyone can report. And the biggest work that has to be done is really the business managers working with the general managers, or the general managers really knowing their business to because you just drop the numbers in. So they have to come up with the correct numbers, and the assumptions behind it is very important. And what we need to think about, and even on the NFC, is we need to really think about how we project and forecast our revenue. That, you know, as the interim CFO, I'd said before, I really can't accept the plan that's at 100% of the revenue of this year, even though it might be lower. But, you know, unless you have a crystal ball to know exactly what will happen in 2010, you know, we have to look at how we're projecting revenues, because we have not done a good job on that this year. And then from the general manager side, as we go into that, we have to look at, you know, in addition to the economy, why aren't we doing well? So basically, again, from the ICFO staff, that's what's been done. We've sent out, we're updating the fund drive results initially to send to Grace and then for her to send out. It shows how each business manager is performing, you know, with all the little factors in there in terms of how many pledges per day. And then also we don't want to add in there how many are pledged, are credit card pledges. And, you know, I just want to go back some on the experience that I've had. I'll wrap this up soon. That I've had at BAI, you know, my big concern was, why aren't people pledging with credit cards? You know, why is it so low? And there could be any number of reasons. But one of the reasons would be that during the fall or October fund drive, and probably even in January, we know for certain in October that, and we've apologized profusely for this, and I can say as much as I can on the air, I mean, on a public discussion, but many of the premiums, based on what people are telling me and what I've seen, were not mailed. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I found for people not immediately giving money, that to get your premium, you eventually would have to pay by check. But even in some cases, we found that people were not getting statements. So, even with a credit card payment. So that's what's one of the things that's going on, and that's one of the reasons why the credit card pledges are low, and that's one of the things we have to work really hard on, and we work hard on that by delivering these premiums as soon as possible. So, you know, I'm calling, and this is a public discussion, so I'm asking everyone who would like to volunteer, so to let us know, and we will start shipping premiums immediately. So, and the other part of it is just the BAI in terms of letting the staff know and letting that basically I wrote a couple of letters in the last one, you know, just to congratulate the staff, and that would also and also one of the programmers on the wake up call, he had I don't know, well, I guess it is public knowledge. He had to go into the hospital, but he was released, I understand, that day or the next day. But you know, we're concerned about his health, that he come back to that. The other thing is that, again, you know, we have to apologize to the subscribers for the missing premium supplier drives, and that, again, you know, we plan all out to keep this commitment, and not only keep the commitment, but to get them out as soon as possible. And that basically, you know, it's the WBAI staff, including our new staff member, Tony Bates. And it's the, you know, it's their creative energies, you know, the whole thing that Lou Hill says, you know, it really applies real time to radio. And that in the and that, you know, that we also have like a union workplace, and we really support, you know, the union staff, and I really appreciate the fact that Jose Santiago is present during this fund drive, and that, you know, we are definitely committed to always having the after our union shop there. And that we also wanted to announce there's an interim appointment of Sean Rhodes as interim operations director, so a search has to be put on for that position. And that Peter Beauchamp, we really wish him well in his new commitment. He was real happy about it was like everything old becomes new, because he actually started at the station that he's going to. And Bernard White, who was the former program director, is no longer with the foundation, and the foundation thanks him for his contribution over the years and wishes him well. And at the time, the pledge drive was on day 18 when last Thursday. So the daily average was about 30,000, and as Grace said, it's like, you know, it's 10,000 better than the last drive, so that's almost 50% better. So, you know, we really, again, you know, we have to thank the listeners for keeping faith in us as a network to produce the best programming and to give them a reason for giving to WBAI. And we would also like to thank the staff who continues to show, you know, again, that they are, that the station is the WBAI station is the staff, and that they're the ones who really come through. And what I've told them in the past, and I kind of like I've probably used it too much, is that, you know, we are the ones we have been waiting for. So basically, that's my report for this meeting. And again, we really have to do something about our software, because I'm not able to use 2007 Excel without losing all my data.
Okay, LaVarne. Now, are there any questions for LaVarne?
Question.
Okay, Lizette.
Mm-hmm. LaVarne, can you address the accusation that the programming has been changed while you've been at the station? Because lots of us have been getting emails with that claim.
The only change is that we haven't really changed any program in terms of a time slot. What we have done is during the fund drive, like many stations do, and we've had lots of success, is with putting special programming on. And what happens is you get into a fund drive, the things that are successful in terms of producing pledges, you tend to repeat those, because we are in a fund drive and we're out to raise money. But we have not actually, I'm trying to think if I go through the schedule altogether, I have not removed a program, shortened a time, or any of that. It's
that fair. We are down by 23 seconds.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that clarification.
All right. Unless there's a motion to extend time, we're going to move on with the rest of the agenda. All right. Hearing no motion to extend, the next thing on the agenda is, let's see, Next thing on the agenda is committees and working group reports, and the first committee is the Finance Committee. Jamie, are you ready?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, and this is a 15-minute agenda item, Sean.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Yes, thanks, Grace. Let's see. There's a couple of things I'd like to point out for people from the Finance Committee. The first, here, let me speak into the phone.
This is probably better.
Yes.
The first is that we met last week. I actually sent an email to the board about this last night. We met last week and received from LaVarne and the National Finance staff something we've been asking for a long time, which is a cash flow forecast for the entire network. And I have to say that the committee was very pleased to get this document. It was a very well put together document, thorough. I actually forwarded to the board. It's constructed so that the different units are linked to the national office and also to the consolidated page, so it can be easily updated and assumptions changed if new information comes in. So we were very happy about that. And let's see, as to what it said, we reviewed this document, and the cash flow projected that the network would have $773,000 in unrestricted cash at the end of this fiscal year. And, you know, that's a soberingly low number, the committee felt. For perspective, we spend about $1.2 million every month, so we had, I don't know, less than 3 weeks' worth of cash at the end of the year. Also, we will likely have unpaid bills at the end of the year, so unrestricted cash that's free and clear will be less than that. Susan Young, helpfully, in the interim between our meeting and this meeting, reviewed the unrestricted cash for the previous years. As of October 1st, 2007, we had $2.1 million. As of October 1st, 2008, we had $1.4 million. And now at the end of this year, we're going to have $707,000. So there's definitely a cash hemorrhage from the network on the order of $600,000 or more per year over the past few years. That's a very serious situation. Also, NFC, we kind of looked at the cash flow forecast in some detail. We found certain assumptions certain aspects of it probably do need to be revised. And in our view, it was probably somewhat overly optimistic by at least $150,000. So the unrestricted cash at the end of the year may well be less than that $773,000. Another issue with the cash flow, and this is not to criticize the people who put the cash flow forecast together. You know, I want to underscore that any document like that, like this, to make it is an iterative process where you put it together, you pass it out for review, you get suggestions, and you make it better. So I don't want these comments to be taken in any way criticism of the people who put the document together. The ICFO promised us that she would send us back a revised version shortly. Another issue with this cash flow is that it doesn't contain WPFW information. Apparently, the cash flow forecast has not come from that station's management, which is a concern. You know, we need to understand what our station think they're going to be doing, so I hope that gets dealt with. I believe the way the national office handled it, they put sort of skeleton figures into the WPFW tab. Anyway, our conclusion after reviewing this document was that there was a real chance of serious cash shortfalls in the upcoming months, and we passed the following motion. Quote, the National Finance Committee has in hand information that lets us know a potential cash shortfall is imminent, and that the cash management working group should develop criteria for in terms of a loan application. Another issue that was sent to us was to review the feasibility of paying for elections, which we found to be kind of a knotty issue, which we dealt with in the following way by passing the following motion. NFC believes canceling the election may create liability. NFC requests detailed spending plans to further understand the financial impact of the upcoming LSB election. NFC urges National Election Supervisor to come back with plans that would be cost-effective and below expenses of the last election, including a scenario that minimizes all discretionary spending. That's how we handled that. And the last action item that we dealt with was we asked LaVarne to communicate the budget timetable to all the GMs and business managers. And from LaVarne's report, it looks like she has done so, and they are, you know, they're on the game as far as getting the budget together. And let's see, the last point I'd like to get into, which actually has already been discussed, is the recent fund drive. I sent you all a very quick summary, basically to agree with the other people who have discussed these. It looks as if KPFA and KPFT are more or less on track for their budgeted goals if they include at KPFT money that came in through a telephone campaign that took place at the same time as the pledge drive. The pledge drive was $30,000 low about, but the telephone campaign brought in about $30,000. So basically they're on target. WPFW, I have heard that they only pulled in $330,000 in pledges versus their budget goal of $400,000. That's a serious shortfall, and it's basically on par with their other shortfalls this year. We'd like to get better information as far as the WPFW drive, but that does seem to be the one station so far that's underperforming. And as far as BAI, you've heard the story about BAI. We're doing, as of today, our total was $707,000 in pledges. The budgeted goal for this drive was $672,000, so we're already ahead of our budgeted goal. And I can't tell you the last time BAI actually beat a budgeted goal in a pledge drive, so this is quite a success story. This is actually, as far as pledges per day, in this drive, BAI is doing better than any drive since 2007. So this is certainly a step forward. However, just to put things in perspective, in this drive, we're making about $30,000 per day. You know, in recent drives, they were as low as $20,000, many of them were $25,000 a day. So this is a step forward. However, I can remember in 2004 we had a spring drive that pulled in $40,000 per day, and everybody thought that number was so low it was a crisis, and we had to have an emergency drive like 2 or 3 weeks after. So in the past, we've done much better than $30,000 per day. I think we certainly we do need to do better even than we're doing now in order to get back really onto our feet. But this is certainly a step forward from where we've been. And I do congratulate the people at the station, LaVarne and Kathy and all of the staff who've been working so hard. And I believe that's going to be it for my report.
Okay.
If there's anybody else on the committee, they may want to make a comment.
May I have here?
Yes, do any of these motions need to be considered by this body?
To my knowledge, no. I mean, to my understanding, no.
Okay, very good. Then we'll
Madam
go to
Chair.
Stack. Susan, yeah.
Brenda,
yes.
On Stack. Wendy? Oh, one thing I wanted to bring to people's attention is that LaVarne informed us that the $300,000 loan against which the KPFA CDs are pledged as collateral is going to be, and LaVarne will correct me if I'm wrong on this, has to be repaid at the beginning of August, has to be repaid completely, and cannot be renewed for, I believe, it's a month. So that potentially forces a cash crunch on us. LaVarne's initial recommendation is to borrow from restricted funds. And I believe that LaVarne is following up to look at the documentation on the on those restricted funds, identify which specifically those would be, and to review with counsel about whether they would be available for that purpose. At the same time, the you know, the cash management group will be looking at what are alternatives to that.
Okay. Would anyone else from the Finance Committee like to make a comment at this time?
Well, I asked to be on the stack, but I'm not on the Finance Committee.
Right? Yeah, I'm asking for Finance Committee members first. Hearing none, Wendy, you're next.
Well, I'm excited. I want to be excited that the chair of the Finance Committee is saying that the goal that we at KPFT think we had was, I mean, that there was actually a lower goal and that we might have gotten closer to reaching it. That's great. None of us at our station are thinking that we reached our goal. I understand what he's saying, that with the phone call campaign, that we got a lot closer to it. We think we got, like, within up to 89 from, like, 79 or something, 89% from 79%. But so I don't know why the number that we're starting out with is different, but I don't want to concentrate on that because I know that we still – This drive was really like pulling teeth. It was very difficult, and we did not reach our goals. And so, to explain what the telemarketing campaign was, we actually we engaged a firm to do that. There was a lot of debate about it, and we decided to go ahead and do it, even though a lot of people thought it should be us instead. We decided to use a firm that KPFA has used, and do it at the same time as our drive. And I got to tell you, and this is sort of embarrassing, I guess, but we have lots of KPFT members at my house, and so they called one of the other members at my house to just, you know, hey, we're having a fun drive. That's what the telemarketing firm said, you know, is, we're having a fun drive, and we're hoping, you know, they integrated it into the drive that we're having right now, and it was extremely successful, I thought. $28,000 they brought in, but we also have to pay them for doing that, so you can't really count the whole $28,000 as profit. It turned out to be a good thing because they actually knew what they were doing. I talked to them a couple of times because they kept calling my house, and they really did sound like they could have been one of us who really really is involved in the station. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Grace, this is Jamie.
Yes, Jamie.
Yeah, I'd like to have a question for Wendy, and then I'd like to have I have a response for her about the drive goal thing. Wendy, do you have any idea how much this service costs?
I do, but I don't have it right on the top of my head. Yeah, I can get it for you.
Okay. And as far as the drive goals, the goal in the last year on the Finance Committee, you know, we agreed that in reviewing stations' performance and fund drives, we were going to stick to the drive goals that were put forth in the budget. The KPFT's budget, which this board passed, called for a drive goal of $300,000 in pledges in the spring drive.
Okay.
Now, that's fine. I think that's I believe that's the right thing to do for governance and assessment purposes.
Yeah.
Of course, stations, you know, BAI, they're announcing a drive goal of $800,000. You know, and that's great for morale to set a high bar to get more pledges. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But as far as my concern as chair of the National Finance Committee is, did you raise the money that the budget said you were needed to raise in order to spend for the things that the budget says you're going to spend for?
Right.
That's why I rely on the budget goal rather than the goal that's often announced by stations before the drive. And if I can go a little further with that, you know, if you don't stick with a budgeted drive goal, these goals become very, very mutable. At BAI, we had a drive not too long ago. There was actually no budgeted drive goal. At the beginning of the drive, on the website, it said the goal was $850,000. Then it was announced that we'd achieved the drive goal by getting 760,000, and then it turned out that we've made 740,000. It was still announced that yes, we had met our goal in that drive. And you know, this kind of uncertainty as to where you stand makes it very difficult to assess, you know, are we bringing in the money that we expected to bring in or not? So that's why I stick with that, with the goal in the budget. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, time is up for the Finance Committee report, and we're on now to the Elections Committee.
I have a question. Okay. I want to ask Jamie about the SDA income really quickly, if I could.
Okay, it would take an extension of time.
Motion to extend 2 minutes.
Okay. Any second?
Second.
Okay. Anyone object to 2-minute extension? Hearing none. Go ahead, Nia.
Okay. Jamie, under the opening bank balance, I see for May the SBA income is 11.5, and then in June through forecast 23.5, then it drops down to 17.5. What's the explanation for the fluctuation?
SBA income?
SBA, yeah. the subcarry income. It comes in like that. So the forecast particularly comes from the national office. So Lynn has a forecast back 10 years. So she forecasted based on when the income come in, when we sign up. We're expecting funds from Radio, Maria. I think we just about have this set up in D.C. So that's the way the income comes in. It kind of comes in like affiliates. It's based on who is paying, what their payment schedule is.
I could we get a breakdown by station? What these numbers represent? I'm just curious.
Oh, you want the list of the
stuff? Yes, please. Yes,
we have our business meeting, and I'm putting all these things on a list, including communicating and getting everyone to communicate what the goals are for the rest of the year for any fund drive and for the current summer fund drive. And also, I'll put that on the list about the listing of subcarriers.
Okay,
very. Thank you, LaVarne. Next is
Chair, a point of order. Do we not have to endorse the motions from the Finance Committee? There are about four of them.
No,
what do we do with that?
I asked. Jamie didn't feel that we had to.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Lizette. Next is the Elections Committee. Is there anyone here representing the Elections Committee?
Yeah, me, Wendy.
Okay, Wendy. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to report that the Elections Committee has finally elected a chair and a secretary. We had been waiting to see if WPFW would elect some LSB members to our national committee, and we finally just decided to go ahead. And we have elected Bill Crozier from Houston as the chair of the Elections Committee and Yosh Almanaka as the secretary, Yosh Almanaka from KPFK. So a lot of what I was going to say as this report has been already put forth by Les Radke, basically announcing Les Radke and saying he's hired three of the five local election supervisors. He's still working on WBAI and KPFK, as far as I can tell.
KPFA.
KPFA. So KPFK already, he's hired someone for KPFK?
Yes.
Okay. All right, fine. And the Elections Committee formed a working group to kind of meet with Les and sort of bring up some of the concerns that we had had, and they had a meeting with him, I think it was last Friday. Basically, Les has been very open to hearing what the different problems were from the last elections, and the fact that he was the National Election Supervisor in 2006 should be helpful to us. They met with him and talked about replacement ballots, election costs, voter outreach being a real concern, slate mailings, other mailings, staff lists. The big concern of our committee is that we have, you know, good lists of who's able to vote, either as staff or as listeners, of course. They asked him if people could fax in their candidate petition forms. He said that was okay as long as they sent him in later. That basically that everybody should have the same deadline times for filing. That fair campaign provision complaints and challenges be responded to in a timely manner. And less of course, but he could also use help with this in developing guidelines in advance of challenges that have come up before. He's going to ask help from the Elections Committee, which is great. That's what we were asking for. Another big concern of ours is that campaign cards are played fairly, that nobody has unfair exposure, and the election supervisor has the same concern, that we have uniform times for returning ballots, for cutting off candidate eligibility. We talked to him about write-in candidates, how that would be handled. Let's see. Basically, concerns that anybody has, we could bring them to the National Elections Committee, and we will pursue them with the National Elections Supervisor. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Okay. Are there any questions? I mean, we only had 1 minute for this agenda item.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that, Madam Chair, and we are now 3 minutes in.
Well, the point, I think, is that this is a preliminary report, you know, that they were just hired and we're working on it. If anybody has anything they want us to pursue with them, then they could send it to the National Elections Committee, and I'd be happy to take those.
I have a brief question for Wendy. I hope it's brief.
Is Carolyn on the deck, please?
Before we go on, I'd like to inform you all that we only have 14 minutes left to this meeting. So if you'd like to extend time to ask the questions, is there any way that we can just do this by directing an email to the election committee? And so we can get some more.
Carolyn, point of information, please.
Yes, Carolyn?
Wendy, is it not so that there's a written report that you can send out to the committee?
No, I wanted to say that because I don't know, because I haven't been getting PMB emails today, because Bill said
sorry,
he was going to send it out.
I
can send this draft here.
Bill Crozier sent it out, Wendy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So please refer to Bill Crozier's report, and then we can go from there.
Okay, very good. I'd like to move on to the next agenda item, which is the Personnel Committee report. Sandra, would you like to give us a report? I know that you did mention the resumes that had come in. Are you there, Sandra?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Did you want to add anything to your earlier report?
Nothing further to...
Okay, let's move on then to the Affiliates Task Force.
Madam Chair, can we ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, could you just repeat part of that report, Sandra? I couldn't quite catch it before because you were kind of putting it in the middle of acknowledgments. With something about you've gone through the candidates for PD and for... CFO, and something about June 4th. I didn't quite catch it. I'm sorry.
And Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay.
On the stack. All right. Carolyn?
Yes, I had a question, Sandra. I had sent you a list of sources for posting the RFPs, and I just wondered if you had gotten around to doing that or... I'd offered to help with that if you all were too busy to do that. Did you ever do the supplementary list after the original list? Did you ever send RSPs to those sources, those media organizations?
Sandra?
Yeah. Is Sandra talking? Hello?
Yeah, I think Sandra is having trouble with her phone. Sandra, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Did you hear Carolyn's question?
Yes.
Okay.
And, postings about there was not much reaction to the postings. So the committee went through what we had, and we've divvied it down to about six actual qualified candidates, and we're looking to meet with them on June the 4th.
No, I'm sorry. My question was about the supplementary list that I had sent to you and offered to help you with posting those. And I didn't hear back from you, so I didn't know if you had done that or you wanted help or you were not going to do that.
Well, the supplementary list, and thank you for that, supplementary list, given that we had that list, and it was so close to the posting deadline that we did not engage in
Okay. Was there anyone else who wanted to ask a question for the personnel committee?
Yes, I was just wondering what your timeline was after the interviews.
Well, as it now stands, all of the potential ED candidates and CFO candidates have been notified our next meeting is June 4th, and everyone has agreed to accommodate us with an in-person, or what do you call that, teleconference meeting. So June the 4th. And then I think we'll
Sandra,
okay.
Are you on a speakerphone? We're
yes.
Losing you.
Yeah, you're breaking up here.
Okay.
Can
you hear me now?
Yes.
That's better.
That's much better.
Okay. Well, our next is June the 4th, and we have six ED candidates, four CFO candidates, all who seem very well qualified, that we'll be interviewing via teleconference, and then we will be forwarding all of that to the PMB, and the PMB can choose.
Madam Chair, Bonnie DeStack with a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So you will be interviewing 10 people on the phone in one meeting?
That is the objective, yes.
So what are you figuring, 15 minutes a candidate?
Well, we're breaking it down to there are six candidates for executive director, and there are four candidates for CFO. So that makes 10. And over a two-hour period, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and we have several members of the personnel committee who are coordinating with, what do you call that, interview questions. You know, that will be sent to all people beforehand, and then we'll go from there.
And could I just ask when in the process you anticipate doing resume credential checks and background checks?
I anticipate doing resumes and credential checks after we go through the final review. I would have liked to have done that already, but my sense is that we don't want to waste people's time and effort to review people that may not be considered. So, yes, there will be a final check.
Thank you, Sandra. Was there anyone else who wished to be on the stack?
Yeah. Could you place Andrea?
Yes, Andrea. Go ahead.
And Carolyn, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi. I'm sorry that I had to miss several of the meetings, and you may have discussed it already, but do you have we come up with a standard rating scale and questions for each of the applicants? Have we standardized the process?
Well, we've standardized the process, and
I mean, it's the questions I'm concerned.
Well, fellows of the personnel committee are forming questions, the run through.
Sure.
Everybody has to run through. And but
will we get a copy of that? Of the questions or what? Is there a rating scale for the questions?
Not exactly.
Okay, I'm concerned about being consistent with what we ask, that it be asked of all of the same, groupings.
Well, that's a very legitimate.
Okay.
Are we, just to follow up, are we being advised by the HR staff at all on this for legality? I would recommend that we consider that to get advice to ensure that we are, equal opportunity employers, and that we are not going to bring up sexism, racism, and any of those kinds of questions, and just be under the guidelines of what the HR person can give us right now to advise us.
Okay, this I can tell you, that everybody who has submitted an application has been diligent. Diligently, they have been.
It's a good point. We have a HR director now.
Yeah, right.
We can ask them to help with this.
Exactly.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we're paying them for.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Sandra. Sandra, why don't you give me a call or email me, and I'll arrange all that.
Can I
put okay.
you back?
Was it Andrea that asked the question?
Okay. And the next person on the stack is Carolyn.
Can I be on the stack, Rico?
Yes, sure.
Thanks.
After Carolyn. Carolyn, are you there?
Yes, sorry. I wanted to thank Andrea for raising that point. That was exactly the point I wanted to raise. We have an HR director, and I know at BAI several years ago, we went through quite a few hours, over 2 days of training for our GM search committee, and it kept us out of a lot of legal trouble.
Right.
So I would definitely urge that that you do that, and I am concerned, usually, the basic check, not the, the basic criminal and credit checks are done before interviews, not after, because it saves a lot of time
sure.
for everyone.
Sure it does.
That seems to me to be just a little bit unusual to do it that way. And the third point, I really would urge you to expand the RFP posting to those media organizations. I was quite surprised that they weren't used, but I think that they should be basic.
Mm-hmm.
Even means extending the search a bit,
mm-hmm.
making sure we hit all the national media organizations so that we can't be accused then of avoiding professionals, as it were.
Okay, Rico is next on the stack. Rico?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to... I'm on the committee myself, and...
I can't hear you.
One moment. Let me. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the personnel committee, and we did want to take great care that we are asking all the same questions to all the applicants, so that we are comparing apples with apples and not giving anybody an advantage or someone else a disadvantage. But I do think that we've been so used to working without an HR person that now that we have one, yeah, we definitely have to utilize that person now, and it'll make our job a lot easier, and it also will enable us to keep within the confines of the law, and hopefully we won't have to worry about any possible mistakes being made in the process.
Yes, and there's a good chance that we can arrange for Ahmad to be to partake in that phone interview process, so that we have somebody there who can guide it if needed.
I think that's a great idea, and our committee works so well together. It's been such a smooth run, but I think that would be a great addition to the committee.
Okay. I think we're out of time for this committee report. We're certainly out of time for the meeting itself. We do have a closed session.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Is there any objection to adjourning this meeting at this time and to have the remaining unfinished items from committee reports and from old and new business, unfinished and new business on the agenda for the next meeting, which will be on June 7th.
Second.
Okay, any objection to adjourning this meeting? Hearing none, we will adjourn this meeting, and in 5 minutes, we'll return for the closed session. This meeting is adjourned.
Out for the closed session.